Happy spring, everybody. Welcome to spring. Spring forward. This is the crowd that didn't get up early enough for the first service, so they came here. We love you. We love spring. Anybody love spring? I love spring. Anybody glad winter is going away? Oh, I heard some amens. There's some clapping in the house. I love spring. I love the warm weather. I love sunshine. I love the grass getting green and the trees turning. I love the longer days. I love that baseball season is coming. I love to be outside. Even like if it's work outside, I just like being out there, just being out, breathing that stuff. And I'm glad winter's done. Now, some of you guys are all excited about winter being done also, but I was like, man, I've struggled. I've had a bad attitude about winter sometimes. I've been like, man, winter, here we go. I'm going to only see the sunlight for like 2.5 hours a day, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to be cold, and snow's going to be here. And I'm like, God, fix my attitude. You're the God of the spring, but you're the God of the winter also. Winter's not bad. It's just I have a bad attitude about it. See, now I'm already setting myself up for enjoying the spring season. I'm already setting myself up like I can't wait. Get the bicycle out. Let's go on some bike rides. Let's get out there. Maybe I should set myself up for winter and be like, man, I can't wait for winter. Hockey season's here. Skiing season's here. The snow is here. The kids get the sled ride. We get to be outside. I get to shovel. You know what? Shoveling is not that bad. Shoveling can be fun. It's just we don't give ourselves enough time. We have to leave at 7, and we get out there at 6:55. Now we're stressed about the shoveling. But the actual shoveling is not that bad. It's kind of fun. You get out there, put the headphones on. The kids are inside fighting with my wife, and I'm just out there shoveling. It's, you know. Sorry, honey. I gave it up. She's going to be shoveling now. But there's another bad attitude, bad mindset that we need to change. And that's what this series is really can spark from. This series is selfless. And man, do we have a selfish culture and attitude that we live in, do we not? It comes from, man, I think when I was about this old, I had that attitude. I was like, mine, mine, give it to me, mine, I'm not sharing. Selfish, selfish, selfish. And can I fight that? We started that last week. Pastor Nathan just brought us right on track, just laid the foundation for the whole series, John 3:30. God, you must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Man, I love that. He coined a new phrase for me last week, never heard of it, selfless. Selfless. I'm like, what is selfless? But I remember Eric Heller, he works with our youth, he works with us very closely, and he coined a phrase. I love when people coin phrase. He said, yachtzed. Y-A-H-T-E-Z. No, Y. How do you spell that? Yachtzed. Y-A-H-T-Z-E-D. I don't know. Yachtzed. But you play Yahtzee and you get Yahtzee and that's like the best thing in the world. Well, he would do that. He would get like the best thing in the world. He'd get something over on you. And he'd be like, I just yachtzed you. Or if someone did something to him, got something on him, we're playing volleyball and they spiked right on his head. He'd be like, I just got yachtzed. You just yachtzed me. Selfless. When someone purposefully, intentionally is going out of their way to be selfless on your behalf. You've just received that. You've just been selfless upon. And Pastor Nathan, we pray that you're receiving that even this week. We love you so much. He brought us to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them, if you want to come with me, never heard this translation before, TEV, if you want to come with me, you must forget yourself. Take up your cross every day and follow me. Wow, my God shot from last week. And this is kind of the foundation of the whole thing. He just set it up. This is, if you don't hear anything else I say today, this is it. Because our whole, whether we're going to be selfish or selfless, it's going to come from our identity with God. And he said, we never find our identity looking within, looking at ourselves. Our identity is I am a child of God, period. I am a child of God, period. No self-help book, no self-promotion is going to help me find that identity. My identity is looking up to God and saying, my identity is I am a child of God. So we're going to talk more about that today, talk more about this becoming selfless. We're going to get a little more practical today, and we're going to look up and look out. And it takes a mind shift. We're going to have to change our mind from selfish thoughts to God's thoughts. We're not going to do it, though. God is going to transform our mind. God is the one who transforms. We don't transform. We lean into the one who transforms. And there are spiritual disciplines that we can do to lean in to God daily and on a regular basis, getting into God's word, getting God's word in us, accountability with friends, solitude, worship, music of all styles, all kinds, great books, podcasts, giving, serving, all of these things. We can lean in to the one who created everything, the one who loves us, the one who knows us by name, the one who can transform us by his power. All these things contribute to the renewing of our mind, changing the way we think. We're going to look and see a video in just a minute about the mind, about how it operates, about how it processes things, and how that might need to be changed. And we're going to ask God to help us do that today. I'm asking you to come on a journey with me to say, God, I want to think how you think. I want to hear your voice. I want to operate from that identity with you. And I want to be selfless for your kingdom. Two quick verses before we go to the video. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's will for you. And then one more verse about that mind and taking it captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. God, help us to have this mind shift. We don't want to live selfish. We want to live selfless for you. Give your attention to the screen, would you?
The human brain, made of approximately 100 billion neurons, the same number of stars that exist within our galaxy. The human brain monitors and regulates all of the body's actions and reactions. With over 5 trillion chemical operations occurring every second, and signals being transferred at speeds of over 260 miles per hour, our brain is rapidly analyzing and responding to all of the sights, sounds, and smells all around us. Now, because we are all born slaves to sin, our mind has been programmed to behave out of selfish desire. The way we think, dream, reason, and act are limited to the ways of this world. Now consider the facts for a moment. For every behavior we experience, our brain creates a neurological pathway. As behaviors are repeated, those pathways become increasingly more stable. Think of it this way. A single behavior maps out a dirt road in your brain, creating a basic pathway for your thoughts to travel. But as you repeat behaviors, your brain builds a highway, allowing for an increased volume and frequency of thoughts to move about, resulting in your day-to-day actions. In order to change our behavior, we must reprogram our brain. It requires the deconstruction of existing highways and is a process that takes time. The Bible directs us to take every thought captive and to commit daily to the renewing of our mind through the power of God's Word. And in time, the result is the formation of an entirely new neurological roadmap, leading you to the life you were meant to live.
Amen. You know, just aside, I'm just watching that in amazement of the brain and the body. And how can I not know that there's a divine creator who created it all, who holds it all together, the stars, the moon, the sky, the universe. This couldn't be happenstance. Man, thank you, God. Amazing. But we're going to go on this journey. God, where do I have these roadmaps? Where do I have these highways that are not healthy, that are selfish? And how can I deconstruct them and create highways that are selfless? And that's the journey we're on. John 3:30 again is our verse. God, I need to become, you need to become greater and greater, and I become less and less. The primary way of doing this is getting God's word in our hearts and in our minds. We need to get God's word in us. We need to get truth in us. If we're going to know what the highway is that's destructive, what those highways are that aren't obedient, what those highways are that are selfish, I need truth to come in to help me to see before I can even be. I'm blind. I can't see it all. I have blind spots. I need God to come and show me. I need the Holy Spirit to come and show me. So I need to get God's word in me. Are you getting, just a question, God's word in you? If not, how are you even going to see this blind spots? How are you going to know truth? It's just a question. Are you? I know it's accessible to you. I have my phone right here. It's accessible. The word of God is maybe more accessible today than ever in the history of the world. It's right here. All I got to do is boom, Bible app. I've got the word of God right here. It's with me. But is it in me? Is it possible that you could have God's word on you, but not in you? Just asking. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about eating. And if I'm hungry, I need to get something to eat. Maybe I go get an apple. And I'm like, man, I love this. You know, Granny Smith apples are pretty cool. Any Granny Smith apple people out there? I like the Gala. Any Gala fans out there? Oh, I saw more hands on the Gala. I got it. It has to be crisp, though. I want that. Anyway. I chase these rabbit trails. You got this apple because I'm hungry. Oh, I got to wash it. Okay. All right, now I got this apple, and I want to eat it, but I just decide to start playing with it. Maybe I start tossing it. Maybe I start throwing it to my daughter. Throw it back. All right, good throw. Maybe I get another apple, three apples. Maybe I start juggling. Maybe I go outside and just find a trunk and just fire that apple at the trunk. Anybody grow up with a big apple tree and you go on the ground, you get all the apples, you just start chucking them at that trunk and it explodes and it goes all over the place? Oh my. Kids, you guys are missing out. Grandma had a big one and there was apples everywhere. Me and my cousins, we would do that. It'd be great if one of the cousins was close enough that it would splatter all over them. If you're hungry, you want to eat. I mean, imagine getting that big jar of peanut butter. And that big jar of jelly. And you get that big spoon and you get that peanut butter all up and you just start wiping it all over your arm and all over yourself and then your hair and you get that jelly. Don't judge me. And you get that jelly and start all over yourself. That's ridiculous. And it didn't help my hunger. I'm still hungry. I don't want it on me. I want it in me. God, I want your word in me. It's going to produce stuff if I get it in me. It's going to challenge my mind. It's going to challenge my heart. It's going to challenge my thinking. It's going to illuminate things. It's going to open up things only if I get it in me. The best recommendation I can have, the best practical advice I can have to give you to know the identity that you have in Christ, know your identity in God, is get into his word. Get his word into you. Small bites, big bites, whatever bites you can do. Get it in. Also, looking up and serving others. Once you get that word in you, it's going to challenge you to now live it out. When we invest time with God, He will show us the paths that we want to take, the paths that we need to break down, and the paths that we need to take. And Romans 5:15 challenges us and says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? So now we choose, God, I'm leaning into you. I'm leaning into your word. Your word's coming into my life. I'm choosing to obey it. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Jesus knew this. Jesus lived this out. Jesus quoted scripture over and over. Jesus had scripture in him. He was close to the Father. And he said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and give my life for many. How can I break down this selfish highway? One, to look up, to look at God, to look at his word, find my identity in him, and have him lead my path. Number two, to obey and become a servant. To love God, to love others. Let the Holy Spirit transform my life. Paul, the Apostle Paul knew this. The Apostle Paul was on his way to persecute Christians. He lived by that. He lived by that law. And God encountered him in an amazing way. You need to read it. And when Paul encountered God, everything had to change. His whole mind had to reboot. Everything he knew that he thought was right had to be rewired. And only the Holy Spirit, he had to get alone with God and let God do that, the Holy Spirit do that in him. He had to go from law to grace. He had to go from religious elitism to personal relationship. He had to go from selfish ambition and climbing that pharisaical, that Pharisee ladder. He had to go from that to this phrase that he used all throughout his writing, I am a servant of the Most High God. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am a servant of Christ Jesus. Wow. To be a servant is a life that is selfless. Don't copy the behaviors or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. In our minds, is our mind operating from a selfish ambition or operating from a servant's heart, a selfless servant's heart? Good news, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you have said Y2J, as we call it around here, if you have taken a step in your life where you've come face to face, you've encountered God, God's encountered you, you've heard the truth about Jesus Christ, you believe that he's God's only son, and that there's grace and forgiveness and healing and eternal life there, and you have said, God, I stop living by myself, for myself, and I give you my life. I say yes to you, Jesus. Come and be my Savior and my Lord. You have already started the process of tearing down the selfish wall and the selfish highway and embracing a selfless highway. You've already started the process of saying, I'm not living for myself. God, I invite you in, and I want to do things your way. But the journey doesn't end there. But we've started that journey. And so a couple practical things to help us stay on that journey is pray and ask God to help you to pray for his will to be done in your life. Selfish prayers are like me prayers. They're like, God bless me. God be with me. God bless my business. God bless my home. God bless my children. God bless, bless, bless me, 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 mine, mine, mine. We did a skit a while ago. The students did a skit. Rachel Hartzler led them. And I think it was one of the Garrett girls. I don't know if it was Haley or Lindsay. But one of their lines was, they were in the skit and they were praying, they were like, gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme, 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 gimme. It was pretty annoying, to be quite honest. It was over the top. And they did it over the top, and everybody laughed, unlike this room. Anyway, and it was super funny. But God, help me. One practical way, God, help me not pray gimme prayers. Help me pray, God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in earth as it is in heaven. I surrender to you. I lift palms up to you. I don't want you to come and fit my agenda. I want to fit your agenda. Come and speak to me your ways. Speak to me your truth. Speak to me what you have on your agenda for today. I want my hands to be your hands. I want my eyes to be your eyes. I want to see what you see and hear what you hear. I don't want to miss a moving of your spirit today. God, I surrender to you today. I'm on your team, God. Another practical thing, God, help me to want to build your kingdom. See, my selfish way says I want to build my kingdom. My selfish way says I want to build my brand. My selfish way says I want 35,000,000 likes today. Does that make sense? I don't know. One of you teens, text me later and tell me if that even makes sense. Anyway, I'm sorry, dear. Have you ever played basketball with a ball hog? Any hands out there? Any amens out there? You know, you're playing hoops, you know, you got the ball, and you pass it to them, and you're like, it's done. Goodbye. Go ahead. I'll just stay down here and play defense because none of us are ever going to touch the ball again. Not very fun. Unless you're like me and you're not very good at basketball and you're like, please, I need a ball hog on my team. Remember the Titans. Anybody seen the movie Remember the Titans? Do you remember the two linebackers? And it's a pivotal part in the movie. This team is going to go from here, and it's going to go from a selfish team to becoming a team. But these two linebackers are butting heads. And at this time, this one linebacker is the captain of the team, and he's addressing this other linebacker, and he's like, you're just being selfish. You're missing your assignment. You're blowing right past. You're supposed to cover the outside. You're just blowing right past. You're just going after quarterback every time. You just care about you. And his response is, yeah, there's no team here. We're not working as a team. We don't act like a team. Nobody cares about anybody. Your buddy's not blocking for the other guy. So, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to worry about me. I'm going to get mine. God, I've lived that way, and I still live that way sometimes today. Sometimes, if I look at sometimes where I'm getting irritable and I'm getting upset and I'm losing my temper, a lot of times it's because my selfish way is getting interrupted by something else. And I'm upset that my selfish way is getting interrupted. I'm supposed to be the parent. My kid's doing something. I'm irritated by them because I want my way. God, please help me to kill that. I don't want to build my brand and my way. God, I want to build your kingdom. I want to be about your kingdom business. I don't want to miss a movement of your spirit. God, my time is not my time. My time is your time. I want to invest in spiritual growth in my life and in those close to me that I care about. I want my life to point and praise and say, to God be the glory. I want my life to invest in people and in the church. I love that at Worcester Nazarene, we've been having classes, and some people are coming on. They're like, I want to be a member, and we're going to have new members come in. And part of membership here, we believe, we want you involved. We ask you, as being a member of this church, will you please find a place where you can serve? We're not telling you where to serve, but with God's help, find your passion. Find what drives you and get involved. We need you. We don't need 100 people sitting on a bench. We need everybody involved and saying, we're on the same team. We're not just here to get mine. We're here to give and to make his kingdom better. I love it. This is how God's economy works. The selfless life is God's economy. The selfish economy says, I promote myself. I achieve. I do great things. I should get more. God's economy says, I give, and I give, and I serve, and God gives more. It's true. Luke 16:10 says, you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. Do you remember the story of the ones who the master came and he gave them talents, and they went and they did things with the talents, and some of them mastered those talents, and they did more with those talents, and they served, and they came back, and the master comes back, and there they doubled their talents. And the master says this, listen to what his words. The master says, well done, good and faithful. What was that? Good and faithful servant. In God's economy, that selfless, that serve. Remember the disciples when they were arguing with Jesus towards the end of his life, and they're arguing, they're like, God, who's the best? Who's the best? And he says, guys, the one who serves, the one who serves, the one who gives, the least shall be first, and the first shall be least. Those who humble themselves before the Lord, he will exalt. I love it because Pastor Nathan was even talking about that. You know, it's so easy. In a sense, this whole fighting selfishness is never easy. But in a sense, this selflessness, what is easy about it is I know my identity is in God, and he has me. God has me. Even if the world doesn't understand, God has me. And he has me all the way. Wow, my good and faithful servant. How are we doing on this journey, transforming the way we think from selfish to selfless? You know, it's not, you don't have to go too far to hear a lot of the thoughts of the enemy. The thoughts of the enemy will come and they'll pound and they'll pound and they'll pound. They're never encouraging. They're never uplifting. They're never drawing you towards the Father. You might hear these thoughts and these attitudes, and some of them sound so like maybe my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I don't feel like fighting for my marriage. I'm released because they're not meeting my needs. My addiction is my choice, and it's only affecting me. It's not affecting anyone else. My time is limited, and it's valuable, and I don't have time to give to the church. Return the first 10% to God. Are you kidding me? I've earned this money. I've worked for this money. I've worked for everything I have. I was hurt, and it wasn't fair, and I deserve to be bitter. I deserve to be upset. I deserve to be angry. I deserve for vengeance, and on and on. It goes. God, we don't want that. We want your word in us. Fill us with your word. Help us to see that and to change it from that to declaring your goodness, to declaring I want to resist temptation. And by God's grace and power, I will. I must fight for my marriage, relationship, and recognize and resist that drift. I don't want the big drift in my life. As a matter of fact, I want to meet my spouse's needs. I'm going to listen more. I'm going to watch more, and I'm going to learn more. My addiction, it's not just hurting me. It's not just my choice. It's hurting the loved ones all around me. My time and my attention is so valuable that I have to invest it into God's kingdom. I have to invest it into the kingdom of God. The only thing that's going to go with me someday are people. None of this other stuff is going to go. Eternity is only going to be about people. I have to invest. It is my passion and my joy to return the first of all of my fruits to back to God. He's given me everything I have. How can I not give back to him? I refuse to feed the hurt and nurse it. Yes, it hurt. But God, by your grace, with your Holy Spirit, I release forgiveness. And I might need to release it again in an hour. And I might need to release it again tomorrow. And I might need to release it every day for the next month. But God, I release. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I release them to you. In Jesus' name. go selfless. It's the best life there is. Investing in others is the best life there is. Jesus gave all for us. We can give all for him. Wrapping up here, ask God to do whatever he desires in us and through us to change our mind. Now, these are practical things, but it all comes from relationship. Our identities in Jesus. It starts there, saying yes to Jesus. I like this. Pastor gave me this. Watch your thoughts, for they become your attitudes. Watch your attitudes, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, for they become your destiny. Watch your destiny, for that becomes your life. I am a servant of the Most High God. I am a servant of the Most High God. God be glorified in and through my life. Help me to pour my life out. It counts when I pour it out for you. The journey begins by saying a definite yes to Jesus. A definite yes to Jesus. That's the first part. That's the first selfless act that lays the foundation for all the rest. God, I've tried this life by myself, for myself, for so long, and look where it's got me. God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, you are God's only Son. I believe in you, and I surrender my life to you. I say, yes, Jesus, come live inside. The Bible says when you do that, the old is gone and a whole new life begins. 1 Thessalonians. That's the start. And the rest? I want you to think about what Jesus for a second. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I ask you to stand in a position of prayer. Just you and the Lord. While the band's playing, singing, I want you to think of a couple questions with the Lord. Maybe you'll sing with them, maybe you won't. Maybe you won't sing with them. Maybe you'll just be in the presence of God and contemplate a couple of these selfless questions. How, God, can I improve the quality and quantity of time with you? What do I need to do to stop the excuses and make a priority to get God's word in me? God, you have a new way that you want me to study your word. How is my prayer life? How can I grow in my prayer life? Am I committed to investing my life in His kingdom? God, help us as we contemplate these questions today.